Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Pei, the 80th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. This is a very unusual Mizmor. It is actually referring to the trials of exile. It is unusual in terms of its structure. Let's take a quick look at it. It starts off as it is comprised of 20 psukim, and the first pasuk, of course, is its koteves, its introduction, which reads, Lamnatzeach el Shoshanim edus la'asaf mizmoshir, for the conductor on the Shoshanim, a testimony of Asaf, a psalm. This is one of the 11, towards the end of the 11 of the Asaf mizmorim. Asaf is the author. And in fact, it is interesting in terms of structure, because it is very clearly distinct from other Mizmorim in the sense that it has a refrain. And that means to say that there is a repeating pasuk which appears three times, bracketing off three stanzas. So it appears in pasuk Dalad, Ches, and Chof, bracketing off three respective stanzas before each of those psukim. So, for example, the first stanza runs from pasuk Beis to Gimel, a very short stanza, which is the call out to Hashem to appear in history. The next stanza is bracketed off as Psukim Hey to Zion, which is a complaint against Hashem. Why is it that you allow all this to happen to us? Why are you allowing the people to mock us as we suffer? And finally, Psukim Tes to Yud Tes is the final stanza bracketed off, which is the supplication using the vine as a parable. This vine is planted, it is neglected, it is hurt by its enemies. Hashem, restore it. That is supplication. And then finally, the last refrain. It is interesting to notice that each of these three stanzas get progressively longer. So it starts off with three psukim, then it moves on to two psukim, then it moves on to three psukim, and finally moves on to an entire 10 psukim as in the last stanza. It is also interesting to note that the refrain itself, the repeating verse in between each of the stanzas, also gets longer. So if you take a look at Dalad, the first line appears, it's Elohim, God, Hashiveni, return us, v'ha'er ponecho v'nivasheh. Light up your face to us, and we will be saved. The next time it appears, the same refrain in Pasuk Ches is Elokim Tzavakos Hashivenu V'ha'er Ponecho V'nivasheh. It adds in Hashem, God of the legions, adds in an extra name of Hashem. That's one of the seven holy names of Hashem. And in the last time it appears, which is the last pasuk of this Mizmor, it appears Hashem Elokim Tzavakos Hashivenu V'ha'er Ponecho V'nivasheh. It now has the name of Hashem Havaya, Shem Elokim, and Shem Tzavakos all appearing together. So this is an expansion. This may be an indicator, says the Da'at Mikra, of the Mishorer, the narrator's growing trust in Hashem as he goes through very difficult experiences. In terms of the central themes, it is clear that this is a Mizmor of the people of Israel davening to Hashem at difficult times when their enemies are entering the land and raiding their pastures and hurting them. The narrator recalls the good days in which Hashem looked after us and uses those as a request to Hashem to continue that despite the pain of what's happening over here. There seems to be references to leaving Egypt, being taken care of in the desert, and entering the land of Israel where Hashem did take care of us. He complains about what is happening now, and he begs Hashem to return to those days of old. The main part of this Mizmor is really the third stanza, in which there's this tefillah with the vision of the vine. The vision of the vine is something which other Nevi'im used as well later on in history. And the idea is that Hashem planted us, Hashem tended us, Hashem cultivated us, and then seemed to abandon us as we suffer and as we are taken advantage of. That's what seems to be going on over here. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, it is interesting to note at the beginning of the Mizmor, in Pesukim Beis and Gimel, there is reference made to Yosef. So it says, Roe Yisrael, the shepherd of Israel, Ha'azina Noheg, Katzon Yosef, Yosheva Krufim Hofia. It says, listen, you who enthroned the cherubs, arouse your... the shepherd of Israel who leads Joseph like a flock, listen. So it talks about Yosef. And then the next pasuk refers to three tribes. Lifnei Ephraim, Ubinyamin, Umenashe, Ororo Eskvurosecha. Arouse your strength in front of these three tribes. So what's going on over here? Why are these three tribes being referred to? We know that ultimately the northern kingdom ceded from the union at the times of Rechavam and Yeravam, just after Shlomo HaMelech, and that included Ephraim and Menashe. But interestingly enough, Binyamin remained as part of the south. He remained part of the place of where the Migdash was in the southern reaches near Yehuda. So how does this work? What could this be referring to? So one option is that this could be referring to before the kingdom split, meaning this is when Binyamin and Ephraim and Manasseh are one unit, and that occurs before the kingdom split to north and south, and perhaps the reference to Binyamin could be referring to Shaul HaMelech, the king of Israel, the first king of Israel. Another option is that this is referring to after the split of the kingdom, and the reference to Binyamin is perhaps the unity which we're hoping for of the Ephraim and Manasseh in the north and Binyamin in the south, and that perhaps is a request rather than a description. It is interesting to notice that the Mefarshim try to pin when this is in history. So as an example, the Malbim says, as a very interesting insight, that this whole Mizmor is referring to a time when Ezra and Nehemiah are trying to rebuild Yerushalayim. This is the time when this is a second wave of immigration from Babylon, from now Persia, as the Israelites or the are allowed to return to the land of Israel. They're attempting to build Israel, and they're having a lot of trouble. They come to the natural inhabitants around there, and remember, much like the today, the natural inhabitants are people who are placed there because of the Babylonians and the Assyrians. So their claim to the land is actually much more recent than the Israelites who are returning, but nonetheless they see themselves as the owners because they have, you know, 50 or 100 years on the people returning from exile, and they make political accusations. They start sending letters to the powers of Persia, and they start attacking and creating attrition for the Israelites who are trying to build and rebuild Jerusalem and the Beis Hamikdash. Not so different to today at all. In this time, that's when this Mizmor is actually said, and this Mizmor is about, on three levels, is that the way the Malbim puts it is, Shivashu mitzarehem hachoshrim lelochem negdom. Number one is, Hashem save us from the enemies who are trying to make it difficult for us. Number two is, Shiarchiv guvulam b'shalva parnasa, allow us to have revach, that we should be able to live in this land. It's very difficult to live in Israel at this time, that Ezra and Nehemiah are there. And finally, that Hashem should bring back all the exilees and help them build the Beis Hamikdash. And that's what the three paragraphs or three stanzas are about, says the Malbim. A very fascinating suggestion. Another option is, Rav Hirsch points out, is when looking at this, is that there is really three levels of galus, of exile, that are being described over here, and each of them on increasing levels of intensity. So the first level of galus, which is the first stanza, refers to the galus of the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes. That's why it's referring to Yosef. That's why it refers to Ephraim and Manasseh in the north, and potentially Binyamin could have had some of his shareholders also taken at that point in time. Not clear. But nonetheless, at this point in time, they were pretty much an assimilated people. They were serving pagan gods. When they were taken away, most of them were not killed. They were just repopulated in different areas. That being the case, therefore, the way they call out to Hashem in the refrain at the end of the stanza is Elohim. Elohim is the universal power of Hashem, which everybody can recognize. The next level is the goddess of Bavel, the Babylonian exile, where many, many people were brutally killed. And this is where he calls out Admosai, when is it going to be until Hashem? When do we suffer this terrible, terrible fate under these Babylonians? And in this case, when they get there, they're quickly disavowed of their pagan beliefs when they get to Babylon as being the outsider, and they call out to Hashem as in the refrain, Hashem Tzvakos, Elohim Tzvakos. Hashem is the universal power, but Tzvakos, Hashem, is the one of the legions who has particular groups and has an appreciation for a unique people. And finally, the last stanza, which is the longest by far, is the Golus of Rome, is when the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and that, of course, is much longer because it was worse. It is longer and is more protracted. It is at the end of the stanza that we actually entreat the name of Hashem Havaya, which is Hashem's most encompassing name, which is perhaps the only reason we exist today, is because if you look at the statistics of the world, we should not really be here. And therefore, this is the reference to the end of this Golus, which we hope for and beg for. It is worthwhile noting that the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation, does add to the Kotevis, to the introduction, the words Al Ha'ashuri. This is about the Assyrians, but we have no traditional sources which make reference to this, and we do not take heed of this, but it is interesting that somebody at some point in time in the translation and interpretation thought to add that point. In terms of the places in our tefillah that this does appear, the Vilna Gaon points out that this is the Shir Shel Yom. This is the unique Mizmor which was said on the third day of Pesach, and that the reason is because of Pasuk Tes. Gefen mimitzrayim tasia tegaresh goyim batitoeha. This is the beginning of the third stanza. You caused the vine to journey out of Egypt. You expelled nations and planted it. So this refers to the initiation of the nation of Israel, and that's why it's said as one of the Mizmor Shil Shel Yom of Pesach. In terms of a word in the spotlight, we're going to take a quick look at the pasuk Yud Dalet, which is Yechar Sameno Chazir Miyar V'Ziz Sodai Yirena. This refers to The wild boar gnawed at it, and the ziz of the field fed on it. What's the it? The it refers to the vine, which is the parable over here. In fact, this is the last pasuk of this mashal, of this parable, in which it's been let out. The vine, which used to be so successful, is now, and was tended so carefully, is now being gnawed away and destroyed by these animals. The boar of the field, and the wild boar, and the ziz, which seems to be some sort of very large wingspanged bird, according to many of the Mefarshim. It is interesting that Kabbalistically speaking, there is a very interesting notion about what this chazir miya'ar is. What is this pig of the field, this wild boar? So the Mefarshim point out, an example is the Shloh HaKadosh in a Torah Shebichsav, Parshas Bo, Torah Or Nunvov. He points out a very interesting thing. He says that, quoting the Medrash, that this refers to Esav himself. Esav is called the boar of the field, and part of the reason is because Esav is like the pig in the sense that he sticks out. A pig is unique in that it has one of the simanei kashrus, it has one of the signs to be kosher, which is split hooves, but it does not chew the cud. So it sticks its hooves out almost pretending to be kosher, but it really isn't. And that's what this Yechar Semenu Chazir Miyar is. And this refers, as Rav Hirsch pointed out, is to the goddess of Rome, which makes a lot of sense. It is worthwhile noting that the Shlod does continue to say that at the end of leaving Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there's not going to be any, not even one hoof is going to be left in Egypt. Loiti Sho'er Parsa. And the Shlod points out that refers in fact to Esav, meaning this pig, which has been our detractor, which has been the one who creates all this misery for us, will ultimately be the one who is going to be taken out of Golos as well, because there is something in the Golos which will also be taken out of it. This pig, which shows its hooves, is not going to be completely pushed aside. We're going to take from it to serve Hashem. There's something it teaches, there's something it gives to us at the end of time, a very famous Kabbalistic concept that something of the pig will come with us. It is interesting to note that there was the head of Esav which rolled into the Maras HaMachpelah. Something of him, we'll call it the fake Bechor, the Bechor who traded his Bechorah, is going to ultimately be reunited after the Golos which he put us through. And this is referred to in this Pasuk, in the last description of the violated vine. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.